Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Greatest lesson of Ramadan is the lesson of restraint, taqwa. Ramadan, you will leave out some permissible activities, eating, drinking, and women. Now when you have trained yourself to leave out permissible things, then to leave out impermissible things become easy. The nafs has to go through a training for it to come straight. So you bend it around, then you get it straight. You got a piece of paper and fold it like this. Right? For some time it was folded like this. And you want to straighten it. If you just do this, you will still get a flap. So the right way is to turn it around. Now you'll get it balanced, get it straight. So Ramadan trained you to leave out some things that were permissible. Now, when it's trained you to leave out something permissible, then to leave out and restrain impermissible things become easy. So now look at these verses. عَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Then carries on. And after that it's coming up with وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. My servants ask you about me, and I'm always close. I wasn't at any time distant. I'm close always. But then what are they supposed to be doing? فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. Then they should also listen to me and believe in me. You know, when a friend speaks to a friend, he says, believe me. He's saying something important, so believe me. So listen to me and believe in me. Like how you're saying, trust me. So if you want to go right, that means right means you will go on the path of Jannat. You will go on the path of righteousness. You will go on the path that will lead you up to Allah Ta'ala, will give you that proximity. Then listen to me and trust me. Listen to me, believe in me. That's all. And then you'll go right. So, Allah asks you to restrain from three things, right? Food, drink, and woman, right? Now, these things are natural instincts and very strong instincts. Water, say drinks, food, a woman, that instinct in man is it small, it's very strong. The way you'll notice it, when you start to feed a child, right? And you give him the first spoon and he liked it. Now he's already demanding the second one. He's crying already. Where's the second one? Where's the third one? So that child is in his natural form. Right. He's got no formality, he's in his natural form. Therefore, the child can cry aloud as well, because he's in his natural form. You will feel embarrassed, shame and all that, cry softly. But the child is still in his natural form. So, what's within his nature, he will behave himself in that, without any cover, without any makeup. So these instincts are very strong. Now, there is the fourth instinct in man that comes at the end of this verse. وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتُدْلُوا بِهَا إِلَى الْحُكَّامِ. Right. Wrongfully, don't eat. Don't take up something wrongfully. Wealth, or any person's possession, but don't take it wrongfully. So, one is not to take it and take it wrongfully, and one is وَتُدْلُوا بِهَا إِلَى الْحُكَّامِ لِتَأْكُلُوا فَرِيقًا مِنْ أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ. So you may refer the whole case to an authority, and then in the process you are eating up someone's wealth. So very well, within your mind, you can justify and you can say, well, the law says that this property belongs to me. You can say it very well, right? So you got the law on your side, and the law is saying that this is yours. Now, one is man-made law, and one is Allah Ta'ala's law. A lot of things are permissible in man-made law, but that doesn't mean that it's permissible and it's lawful in Allah's law. In man-made law, wine is permissible. Consuming it and selling it is permissible, wine. So it's not, you're not transgressing. It's not a criminal offense. Right. Similarly, gambling, casinos, again, it's not a criminal offense. But now gambling and wine, will you say it's permissible? Not permissible. So the man-made law is saying something, and Allah's law is saying something else. Again, you look at interest, then the man-made law is saying that this is permissible. Allah's law is saying that it's not permissible. Right? Married in community, the man-made law is that what belongs to your wife. Right? That's the man-made law. But Allah's law is that يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. You're eating up someone else's property, you are filling your bellies, you are filling your inside with fire. See the discrepancy, Allah's law and man-made law. Now, sometimes you confuse and complicate things, saying, well, legally it's mine. It's legally mine, so it belongs to me. So it can be legal in the law of the land, it can be legal, but Allah's law is illegal. When it's illegal, then you are filling up fire into your belly. You are filling fire into your inside. So don't refer it to the people in authority that you may eat up someone's wealth knowingly that it's haram. وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُ knowingly that it's haram, you're still eating the thing. So man sometimes, he appeases his conscience. He justifies and he appeases his conscience, and he makes himself feel that I'm doing the right thing. But that's not right. Many a times, when we cross the lines between halal and haram, then we get deprived of many opportunities. Opportunities are coming our way, and you get deprived of it. We hear of Shibli, or perhaps it was some great saintly person, great Baghdadi or someone, and just an evil thought of a person passed his mind. This person, why is he begging? He looks so healthy and strong, why is he begging? So that thought, he entertained that thought. So he says that for 6 months I was deprived of tahajjud. So you see, you get deprived sometimes, you incur a loss, and sometimes you think, oh, I got caught, what did I get caught for? But now, you don't consider the wrong to be wrong. اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. You don't consider that wrong to be wrong. And as a result, now you fall into this type of a pit, and you're thinking, alright, where this came from? So the easiest thing I found, things that don't concern you, then leave it out. Why must you run after everything? It doesn't concern you. Understand how it works, right? Understand the logistics, how it works. You eat food, what do you eat food for? To sustain yourself and to produce energy, right? What you eat so that you can produce energy and you can run your life. That's the idea of eating. So to get that, so you'll be conscious of two things. You must eat in the right amounts and the right type of food. So if you're eating in the right amount, but the food is not right, will it produce that energy that is desired? Or the quality is right, but the quantity is not right, will it produce the type of energy, it won't pollute. So you need to take it in the right quantity and the right quality. Both now combined, both combined will produce energy, and you will be able to run your life, you will be able to maintain and sustain yourself. So exactly the same thing. So the whole eating is for maintaining yourself, sustaining yourself, energizing yourself. That was the whole idea. So information is for two main reasons. Information is one, to motivate, bashir, motivate the person, and to keep the person in guard. That's the idea. You keep yourself in check, number one. Number two is to motivate and to drive you. So you will apply the same principle. You will take the necessary required amount of information, right? What is required, that amount, and the right quality of information. The quality must be right, and the quantity of that information must be right. You're taking that now, that will motivate you, and that will restrain you. But if the quantity is not right, or the quality of that information is not right, now instead of that information motivating and driving you, spurring you up, now it will push you down. It won't any longer motivate, it won't drive, it won't spur you up. It won't restrain you from the wrong that you are doing. So that was the idea of information. Now, when we have got unlimited access to information, now will this information be of any use to us? Like that food is of no use. Redundant, right? Now you're taking information, and information in unlimited quantity. Google, this one here, WhatsApp, or what's what, right? So you're taking unlimited amount of energy, right? And you're not looking at that information that you are taking on, is it the type of quality that I require? It's such a simple thing, but I don't know why we complicate things. You know, this whole COVID thing had taken place, right? So you had big professors like that Mahdi, Shabir Mahdi, all that, right? Talking 100% for its social distancing and masking, all that. Now the same people writing totally against it. Hey, this is all a waste of time, it's a farce. And it's gazetted, it's coming, they're writing the articles. I got the article on my desk, right? The same people that promoted the whole thing, now they're saying it's wrong, it's a faked up thing, right? But what I'm saying is, now after the damage is done, now they're retracting. Or at here the decency to retract. But the damage that was caused, there were so many splits, there were so many fights, there were so many arguments, there were so many people that were divided just because of this thing here. And the worst thing was, there was so many loss of employment. The stats are showing, at the height of this thing here, approximately 45% people, South Africans, had lost their jobs. Now it came up again, now it's alright, it's reduced by 10%, by 10. So it's now 35,000. But the damage that is caused already, see, and there's no recourse. Anybody, not saying, alright, you lost this, let's put you up again, let's try and help you out, let's put you back on course. Nobody's worried about that. Yes, at the time of restraint, you call the army also. Call the army, call the police, everybody. Everybody was there, right, at the time of restraint. But now you need to get the person activated, energized. Is there anybody there out there, doctor, professional or unprofessional, that's motivating the person, alright, this was something that pushed you behind, let's drive you again. So nobody's concerned. See, this is now a world, international phenomena. Phenomena is that nobody wants to be responsible. Nobody should be. At that time they were saying, act responsible. Don't be irresponsible. Now, to bring back people on course, re-employ them, is that a responsibility or not? If that was a responsibility, and defying that was becoming irresponsible, to bring people back onto course, bring them back to the employment, etc., is that a responsibility or not? But the world is not concerned about it. Absolutely no concern. So the information that we take must be that in that proportion that our minds can digest. Like you have an overload of food, right? Then there's going to be an indigestion. There's going to be a constipation, right? There's going to be a malfunction, right? The internal organs are not going to function. You have a bladder or a kidney. Something is collapsing. Something is failing. But one of the main reasons is because you didn't eat right. You didn't eat right. So this was a result of you not eating right. That's the main reason. Right? So exactly the same, if there's an overload of information, then the mind is going to be suffering from an indigestion. When it's suffering from an indigestion, then that mind can't work well, can't function well. It'll fall into a slump, it'll go into a depression. It doesn't have the drive any longer. Right? But then who forced you to go and take that information? You know, when this thing started off, just about a week before it would start off, someone told me, about 10 minutes before Jummah, speak on it. No, I don't know exactly what it was. That's still now, you're still trying to find out what it is. So, and the man is coming to me 10 minutes before Jummah, want to speak about it. Alright. So anyway, Allah gave me the tawfiq, I spoke. Whatever little came to my mind at that time, and I spoke about it. But I remember one, two points that I mentioned at that time. One is, I said, see, one person comes to you, say, you feeling alright? The second person comes, you sure there's nothing wrong with you? The third person comes, but did you see a doctor? The fourth person comes and says, but you know, you need to go hospitalize yourself or go and check yourself out. The sixth person says, you know, these things are dangerous, huh? You don't take it lightly. Huh? Now, by the time the seventh person came, what happened? Mentally you dropped your guard and the sickness attacked you. The sickness at that time was insignificant. It was minuscule. But the mind worked it up. You know, I'm sick. Five people told me that I'm sick. So really there was something wrong with me. So at that time, what was going on, that was the media was bombarding, blasting. Newspaper, radio, WhatsApp, everybody bombarding the same information. So those that were not even sick, they became sick. But you will not only say that these people are sinful, you are also sinful. On the day of Qiyamah, the downtrodden will speak to the leading. Dawla antum lakunna mu'mini. You caused it for us. You caused it. You, dawla antum lakunna mu'mini. We'd have been right. This will say, anahnu sadadnakum al huda ba'da izjaakum. No, bhai. You equally wrong. Because guidance had come, the Nabi had come, the word of the message of the messengers had come, right? And our words came also. We also came up, and the word of the Rasul came. Of your own choice, you swung yourself onto our side. We didn't force you. We didn't push you. We didn't take you, grab you and push you there. You, of your own choice, you chose to go on the wrong. So, alright, it was our mistake as well, but you are not guiltless. Don't you think that you are guiltless? Now, you dump all the guilt onto this class of people who push this type of information, and you think that you are free of any guilt. I ask you, if there's a second wave that is coming up, you will fall for that again. You fell just now, and you thought yourself to be guiltless, free of any guilt. Now, if another guilt that comes, right, like they're saying, a mosquito box, right? No, monkey box, right? Don't they say this talk about monkey box, right? So nobody's talking about it. No masking is required. But the world is saying that all the LGs are the first victims. That's the world saying. But then there is no precaution against the LGs. But when I heard this first time, this monkey box, I say, how truthful is the message of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Right? Right, there's two hadiths that come here. One is when people will become shameless, every type of shameless activity is being encouraged, right? Then you will hear of sicknesses that you never heard before. It's one hadith, right? Sicknesses, virus, plagues, all that you never heard before, right? And Abu Dawud Sharif has got another hadith. It says, if a person is naturally like this, right? Now you can't make out, you can't distinguish the gender, what he is. Perhaps he's got both the things, right? Whatever he is. But now, what was the direction Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave for such persons? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Akhrijuhum min al-Madinah, take them out. Separate them, right? This class here, separate them, right? So the social distancing was supposed to be here. See, now nobody will talk. Not the health authorities, not the orators, not the learned, not the illiterate. Nobody will say, Akhrijuhum min al-Madinah, take them out. And for a time I should think, now, why did Rasulullah say, take them out of Madinah Munawwara? Because they are potential danger. He's got manly features, and he's got feminine features as well. So sometimes you mistake him for a man. But he's got feminine features. One man was here, last week he was here, right? So he had a shop here, spot equipment, you know, all this gymming equipment and all these type of things here. So he had a shop in Cape Town, Johannesburg, Durban, so all over the country here. So he came here one day, he's got a taluk for about 12, 15 years now. So he says, you know, I had that whole branch there in Cape Town, and I uplifted, I closed that thing and just came at this side. So what happened? Why is such an irrational decision? He's doing some good business, so why close it down? So he's young, he's now nearly 50, but he's still got like good features, you know. So I was there in my Cape Town branch, one person came and he's passing his shoulder, he started passing his hand over my shoulder. So I looked towards him. So he says, but I'm gay. Hey, I don't want that filth. I don't want that filth. Straight away he said, I don't want that filth. I said, this can recur now. I'd rather just close this thing up and move somewhere to a safe zone. Now this man is telling me, I have to just close up and move to a safe zone. Because this is, you know, to me it's so filthy, I couldn't just come to terms with it. It's too filthy. And that man had the audacity to come and touch me and rub me like that. Hey, what are you going to do with this class of people? So Rasulullah's advice is, just take them out. Because the woman is going to mistake him to be a woman, man is going to mistake him to be a... In the meanwhile, he's taking some discreet pleasure. Is interacting with women or interacting with, nobody knows that he's taking that pleasure. So they're going to open up, like, I think you to be a man. So I'll open up and have my jacket out, have my kurta out, it's my vest. Right? But now that person got some other type of features, what's going to happen to him? His tendencies are different. And I'm making a mistake. So the safest thing was, get them out. You won't tell everybody now to move out. In the masjid now, if there's one person of the virus, you won't say close the whole masjid down. Totally illogical. One person got it, now close the whole masjid down. Why one person got this thing? Yeah, that person, you're afraid of him, or he's afraid, you get out, right, khalas. But let the monks masjid function. Don't you become a spanner in the work. Salah Pak's house, why must you become a spanner in the work? Did you ever hear that, right, one person has got something like that at home, so close the whole home down? It's a shop that is selling essentials. Right. Now, one person has got it, so close the whole shop down. The most they will do is close it down for 1-2 hours, clean it up and whatever else, sanitize or satanize, and then they'll go back into business. But rather, the masjid, they must close it down. But now, see, where's the wisdom? Where's the philosophy? Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, see that the teaching of Rasulullah SAW separate these people here. So someone said, alright, if Lola Akharaz Nahum Ladau min al Jew, they may just die out of hunger. Alright? Let them come to Medina once a week, once in 2 weeks, take the essentials and go back. But they must be separated. But I didn't find anything so profound, so beautiful, so comprehensive as the teaching of Rasulullah SAW. It is one hadith and how many things are coming up. And now Rasulullah's message is 1400 years ago. But up to this day, you can't break it. You can't get something equally. Now, people suffered for over 20 months. Now they're retracting the whole thing, you know, the mistake and whatever else. But they're not retracting. They're not saying, our apologies, let's try to repay you, let's try to bring you back to course. That's the one wrong, internationally. Right? The second wrong internationally is, whether it's orators, whether it's educated, whether it's uneducated, right? They're not investing their energies and their time in the right place. See, we say information. Right amount and right quality. Right? So the right thing for the educated, for the orators, etc., was if they are in a country and they're seeing some services are just collapsing, then they need to motivate and bring the services up. Right? See the roads, what's happening. Security system, what's happening. The hospitals, people are dying there. 2 months, 3 months, nobody is there to attend to them, right? So when we're looking at the case, we don't just look at Westville or Mshlanga or Balito. We don't make a judgment, look at Westville, Mshlanga or Balito or some type of a state. We don't look at that. That's unfair. We look at the majority, 95%, what type of life they're leading. What do they need? They need a hospital. They need services. They need roads. They need security. Are these people talking about these things? So all the energies went on this idea. But the services that were required by humanity, nobody speaks about it. I ask you, is it fair to humanity? Or are we so selfish that we will just talk about things that that affect us? Is that a Muslim? A Muslim will talk. You must talk and work. Work with respect, with dignity. But look for the people now. What do they require at that time? Educated and uneducated. See the level of literacy. What people need at that time. And are we talking about it? Are we motivating that? Are we encouraging that? Nobody's talking. Educated, not educated. Learned, not learned. But I ask you, aren't the services the requirement of the day? And internationally, everywhere it's required. Whether it's England, whether it's any other land, England or Zululand. But they require these services. And nobody's interested in showing and offering this type of services. So now, we're coming to this verse here, لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ, and then it's branched off a little bit, right? لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. See how our minds are going. Now just compare this verse of the Quran Sharif to how our minds are going. So, there's three human instincts, eating, drinking, and woman. And these instincts are very strong in man. You can't stop it. Can we stop that? Very, very strong. Even if you're going to Mars, you think about food, right? Won't you? Or drink, right? You want some pleasure. So wherever you are, but you have these instincts very strong. Now there is a fourth instinct in man, and nobody pays attention to that instinct. The educated or the uneducated, the learned or the illiterate, whoever, but nobody pays attention. Now you may ask, what is that fourth instinct? That fourth instinct is greed. Now you ask, alright, how does it apply to us? How does it apply to us? So look at this ayat. وَتُدْلُوا بِهَا إِلْ حُكَّامِ. Right, you got a problem now. I got a problem with you, right? It's an estate problem. This is an example, just to illustrate. I got a problem in the estate, winding in the estate, right? Now, I want to gain some advantage over you. I know if I get an advantage over you, then I will be standing with 10 million rand more. Right. But now, how do I work this thing out? So I work this out in this manner, that I'll go to some authority, right? When I'm drawn to that authority, I see him right. When I see him right, so I'm using my money to corrupt the person in authority, right? Just to enjoy some additional favor. Isn't it? That's the khulasa. That's the essence. I've corrupted the man in authority so that I may take an additional advantage. In the process, I'm cheating this person here, I'm suppressing his right. Is that the khulasa or not? Is that the essence or not? That's the essence. So I'm using my money to corrupt the person in authority, but to take an unfair advantage over someone else. Now if someone comes to me, then I'm saying, well, you know, I'm covered by the law, I'm protected by the law. So I'm not doing anything wrong, I'm not violating the law. Can you see that? So he's got a cover-up story. The cover-up story is the law is supporting me. I'm protected by the law. So I'm not violating, I'm not eating up any person's, you know, usurping any person's right. But now you see, what was that? What was the catalyst? The catalyst was greed. So when the greed has consumed me, I'm not concerned about what happens to him. Not concerned at all about it. See now, see like how a bank will function, right? fanatic is not worried about what happens to that person. That's a natural tendency, the nature of a man. He's not worried what's going to happen to the person. That thing is worried just to fill up its coffers. I need to fill up my coffers, what must I do? So I'll take all the securities, all the collaterals from the person, and I say, Morad, over a 60-month period, you need to cash up, you need to pay me up over 60 months. Right? Failing which, then I will take away that collateral. I'll take away what you're giving as a collateral, I'll take it away. Now, that bank is so possessed with greed, right, that he is not worried that this man will be homeless tomorrow. That is not his concern. He signed up a collateral, right, for the bank to service this, right, to service this for the next 60 months. But now, in a case where he failed, he couldn't do it, he couldn't manage the payment, right. So what happens? That thing possesses the whole thing. When he possesses the whole thing, now this man is left homeless. Is that the concern of the bank? Now, is that the style of a Muslim? I'm not worried about what happens to him after that. My money is secure. Is that the style of a Muslim? See that? So you see this greed. That was the catalyst. So I'm not concerned of what happens to him, but I must get my money. So Allah Pak is saying in this whole chapter, what he's saying, that get your mind right. Your mind right, getting the mind right, first is to restrain yourself from the things that are permissible, right? Food, drink and water, right? But it doesn't end up there. But restrain yourself from this greed as well. Then only your mind will be right. If your mind is still consumed by greed, then your mind can't function right. Now, just a simple illustration to make you understand, this whole verse, right? See, you see a mountain, that's it, right? It's a mountain of gold, for example, right? So from the distance you're looking, perhaps about 10 kilometers from where you are, right? But now, you're so fired with greed that you're moving towards that place, right? In the process, you're trampling someone, you're knocking down someone, you're pushing down someone, you're killing someone. What do I need to do? I need to reach the mountain of gold, right? Now, in your mind, you're putting up a cover-up story, a justifying story. Once I got that mountain of gold, then I'll do a lot of charitable work, right? But the people that I've killed, smashed down, I've hurt in the process, are you taking cognizance of that? Now that's greed, see. So you'll say, no, I'll support this, and I'll supply this, and I will service this thing, all right. But in the process now, you're not worried of what's happening to that person. Now is that deen? Rasulullah is summing up the whole deen. Ad-deenu an-nasiha. What is deen? Deen is wishing well for a Muslim, for a non-Muslim, for anybody, but you're wishing well for him. So you tell him, see, this thing here is not going to be affordable to you. Now it's affordable, right? But you see, this is your package, monthly package. This is what's going to come out, right? You got a wife, you got two children, right? You need to look after them. Sometimes these big companies can collapse as well. In the event of that thing collapsing, what's going to happen to you? You've got no security. Absolutely no security. This was the only thing that you had. You kept it as a collateral. And now that thing collapsed. This side you've got no wealth. So what have you got? See, is that Islam? It's not Islam. Islam is you wish well for any person at any given time, but you wish well for the person. But it's beyond your budget. Don't go for this thing here. Just buy something that's within your budget. In the case of an emergency, you've got something to fall back onto. Now look at our awliya kiram, Abu Zughanuddin, how they thought. How they thought. Then you understand what's the meaning of ad-deenu an-nasiha. Deen doesn't mean just pile up and pile up and pile up like man. No. The deen is that you wish well for the poor, for the wealthy, for the learned, for the unlearned, for the authority, for the subject, for everybody, even the authority you are wishing well for. Now look at our Buzuganadin. They were the perfect examples of moderation, of being justly balanced. They just and they balanced. Al-Mu'tami Sahib Rahmatullahi says, I was desperately in need of another home. He had two wives, and the second wife was with the blessings of his first wife, Rad. Don't think that Moa took a second wife now, so, so it's a license. Moa's family, see, the Buzugana Deen, they may be strict on that principle, right? But in the family life, they are very free, very easy, very flow, there's a clear flow. But there's such a clear flow that the wife told Molana, you know, aapne shadi kar li dusri, aapne dusri shadi ka darwaza khol diya. You know, family is telling, what is saying? That, well, you started off this door for second marriage, now you opened up all your muri with, you know, the sheikh has got a second wife, why should we do have it? But now, see, what I'm showing you, the personal life of this was so clear and open, right? The wives could talk to them openly. He didn't sit in a buzuk like a buzuk at home now. You just shut up, do what I say, just take instructions from me, no. That they understood that the domestic life is a different life, and it will only be complete and perfect if there is a degree of freedom. They can talk freely, they can say what they want. So you can also teach them and guide them. But now you act like a bully, like a military man, right? It doesn't work in the home. So she is telling Moab, see, you open the door to second marriage. So Moab is also relaxed. Moab says, mera darwaze ko band kar diya, ya darwaze ko khol diya. You're saying that I open the door. Did I open the door or did I shut the door? So, no, what do you mean? So, see, the murid are seeing, all my dealings are open to them. Nothing is concealed from them. Everything is open to them. They are seeing every act of mine. So they saw now, one villager came with two watermelons, right? So Mulana also came, just bring two watermelons, because I've got two families. So one watermelon for one home. So now Mulana is asking the villager, that have you weighed the both? He said, yeah, I know your whole style, so I weighed the both are identical, right? MashaAllah, one step you have covered. Because now, the story mustn't go that this one got more and this one got less. Sometimes it's a small thing, but that can become an issue. So Moab is asking the villager, alright, but it's possible the one may be sweeter than the other. So that villager is speaking, he stands, says, Moab, what do you expect me? I must dive into that thing and lick that thing and then come and give it to you. So Moab knows it's a villager. So he speaks to him in a village style. Bring it, we'll cut both into two equal pieces. Cut the thing. This piece he put it on that side, and that piece he put it on this side. Now is there any room left for any type of discrepancy and fight? Right. Why I think I'm so particular about these things here, that when it's her turn, right, then I won't even talk about this one here. I won't even allow that to cloud my mind, but this one is more beautiful, whatever. I won't even do that much, because I feel it's a violation of her rights. See, this is a conglomeration, a perfection of perfection. And he's perfect, why? Because he recognizes that there is an Allah Ta'ala. He recognizes that I have to give a hisab. So, equality in every respect, to the furthest point that you could take it, says now the Muris will understand it. This is a too tough one. No? To cut the two watermelons in equal pieces and then to push this one on that side, on this one on that side, we rather be comfortable with the one, let's carry on. So they'll understand that they can't do this thing yet. But you see the example, they illustrated this thing, they kept it before their muridin. They didn't keep their lifestyle concealed, no. What is supposed to be within the house must be within the house, no. Open, transparency, full transparency. So if someone wants to give a correction, they can give a correction as well. Moab would be very open. Moab's dressing, he wasn't very particular about the dressing, you know. It must be clean, that's all, enough. So it must be pressed like this, that type of fabric, that type of sole, that type of material, he wasn't worried about. So his family, once she reprimanded him, said, no, once I benefited from my wife, so, he reprimanded, you know, you're going for bayans here and there, and whatever else. And your murid will see this type of clothes you're wearing. So, they will feel, they'll feel suppressed now, you know. That we need to buy something for him, see the type of clothes he's wearing now. So there, someone will give one kurta, someone will give one trousers, someone will give one topi. So, well, you know, you dress up, you take about 3-4 sets of clothing and you're going out. So they won't feel now that they need to support you in any way. You know, you're wealthy. So in that regard, at least I got some benefit from the woman. Right? I dress up well when I'm going out. At home you can dress up however you want. But when you're going out now, the Muris mustn't feel now, you know, he doesn't have enough. So therefore he needs an assistant. See how particular he's about himself. See this shariat, cognizance of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I tell the people, but this is such an important thing. You got a proposal for your daughter, right? You hear that this person is making a lot of zikr and all that, whatever. But he's also short-fused. And that person is practicing the sunnah. We are a little bit in jamaat, practicing the sunnah. And a little bit of ma'mulat he's doing. But his akhlaq, his character, his values are very good. He doesn't take things serious. Very, very easy person, easy going. Character immaculate. He's not short fuse, he's long fuse. If I ask you, sitting in the masjid, who will you give your daughter to? Obviously, that akhlaq is such an important values, right type of values, such an important thing. You don't want a man there now, you know, smack and hit and shout and reprimand and all these things here. You want someone with good values. So that good values have to be learned. You don't just get it automatically. We think, you know, we just listened on, heard on bayan, we got the value. No, that thing has to be learned. School also, you have to learn that thing. Mathematics, you have to learn, right? Geography, you have to learn, right? So this thing also you have to learn. The training, you go to a gym, you got a personal instructor, he has to train you, you have to go to him. You can't just say, alright, this is a diagram, this is an exercise. No, you can't say that. He has to check your blood pressure, sugar, all that, and then he has to plan out a whole itinerary for you. So exactly the same, you need someone to guide you. I had to explain this to some students that completed now, recently they completed this. So this is a need of the time, if I have to explain to them. You come to this tale of the story. I explain to them, like you see, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the olive, right? And the quality of the product. Yakatu zaytuha yudhi'u. That oil is so brilliant, right? Even if it is not touched with fire, even if it's not lighted, right? But it's giving off light. It's so brilliant. Right? It's so brilliant that even though you haven't switched it on, but it's giving off so much of brightness. But then what is the quality of that fruit, of that olive? So Allah Ta'ala is speaking about it. La sharqiyatun wa la gharbiyya. La sharqiyatun wa la gharbiyya. Now, to appreciate this, understand, right? Understand like this, to appreciate this example, right? You got fruit trees, for example, right? And that fruit tree has got an eastern aspect or a western aspect. So it's getting the sunlight, but just part of the day. Why it's covered from one side, and the other side is getting the sunshine. I ask you, what will be the quality of the fruit? Will it be at its optimum? Or will it be deficient? It'll be deficient. Why is it deficient? Because it's got it part of the day, and the other part of the day is not getting the sunshine. So the fruit will not be at its optimum. But this fruit here that Allah is speaking about, that olive, La sharqiyatun wa la gharbiyya, it's got no barriers. So it's on high land, standing on high land, it's got no barriers in the east and the west. So that means throughout the day it's getting the sunshine. When it's getting the sunshine throughout the day, what will be the quality of the fruit now? It'll be at its optimum. Export grade, right? First grade, right? Won't it be? So the oil that it'll produce also will be excellent. Now, did we try and understand what's the message Allah Pak is passing on here? There's a lot of messages, right? But the message that comes to me, right? What message is? The tree is like the seed, is the word of that knowledge, right? That word, loves, right? That's a tree. But that tree needs that sunshine for its maturity, for its quality, for its to come to the, you know, optimum, to its optimum, it requires all that. Maturity, sweetness, the goodness, optimum. It needs all these things here to come to its optimum. And for it to come to its optimum, that knowledge now needs to expose itself completely. The fruit didn't say, you know, hey, now too much, I got the sun morning time, now evening time, whole day in the heat I'm standing. That thing didn't cry. It gave itself as though it did not exist. It's got no existence of itself. The existence is of the sun. The sun has overwhelmed it from all sides, in the morning, in the evening. So as though it is the presence of the sun that has overwhelmed itself. It's given it to, it's given itself to the sun. When it's given itself to the sun, right, then it became the star of the day. The star radiates and reflects the light of the sun, doesn't it? But when it, this fruit gave itself entirely, it didn't block itself in the morning, nor did it block itself in the afternoon. Right now it's got the full reflection, got the full light. When it got the full light, now the fruit that is produced, now it's at its optimum. It is now at its optimum. It's fully mature. Now it's of an export grade. Not only for Woolworths, it's for the world market now. That kajur now, it's like Ajwa kajur. Superb quality, it's got all the light. There's no rush in the whole process. You need not rushing the process, you're leaving it there. See, now we want something and we want to rush it. I ask you, you want tea prepared, nice style. You'll enjoy it in the microwave. Why? It's rushed. You're not going to get the flavor out. You need to have the patience, right, and that endurance to get that flavor. And you push it into the microwave, it'll happen, and it's surfing that way. What do you say? First day I tolerated you, please. There must be no repetition. What do you say then? So for your food you're so concerned. Now for your mental well-being, your mind, your akhlaq, your mind, you know, for your mind. So for that well-being, what is required? The thing that is required, then you give yourself entirely. See, the fruit gave itself entirely, it got all the blessings of the sun. It gave itself, and it gave itself partially. It gave itself deficiently. It gave itself, and gave itself complete. When it gave itself complete, so there was the full reflection of the light that blessed it and crowned it, right? Now it's got the quality. Hey, I want that Ajwa Khajur, man. You know, I don't want to say him now, see, people say the Ajusen. I want that Ajwa Khajur from here. See that? So that thing will be an advertisement in itself. But the requirement is, you see, Allah Pak has created the world with laws. Right? He can do as he wants. Nobody can stop him. But there are certain laws that govern the world, right? So for that fruit to come to its ultimum, right, optimum, that was required. For that person to come to his optimum, then he had to give himself to the son of Hidayat. He had to give himself to the son of Hidayat. Then the son of Hidayat will radiate on him and will radiate full on him. Not partial. He'll radiate full. Now he becomes a son of glory. He becomes also a son of Hidayat. Because he gave himself complete. Now that full reflection come here. When the full reflection come, now he's a Hidayat now. You see that? That in Tasawwuf they call that Nisbata Ittihadi. There's another discussion on its own. Some other time we'll talk about it. So we're coming back to the topic. We spoke about the more Thangvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, perfection, comprehensive, every small, minute thing, and he's got it in his mind, I need to do it. Because I'm a reflection of Hadisa. He's giving a bayan, right? He's giving a bayan, and one advocate should have. That advocate is asking, Tu mujammal as jamal kisti. Tu mujammal as jamal kisti. You see, we see the beauty in you, in your oration, in your style, comprehensive, how eloquent, you know. too much of beauty. But this beauty, where did it come from? So at that moment, Muhammad also was overcome with the love of his Shaykh, Al-Ali Sahib Rahmatullah. He says, Man Mujammal as Jamalik Hajiyam. Man Mujammal as Jamalik Hajiyam. The goodness that you see in me is not my own, it's from Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah. See that? But now that comes when you give yourself completely. Otherwise, you are deficient. Then are you a true naib of the Rasul? Ask yourself, are you a true naib of the Rasul? Or did you betray Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in some level? The zahir, you try to perfect it. But the batin, did you give yourself that type of attention? Did you give that type of attention? Sheikh Saadi Alhamdulillah explains the same thing, but in a different style. I gave it to you a long style, long discussion. Everybody only wants hadith and Quran, hadith and Quran. So you give an example, if you illustrate it with the Quran, so then they understand. Otherwise they don't listen, right? So the same lesson is given in a simple style, simple format. He says, man went to the bath, you know. You know, you get a public bath. So, in the public bath now, he's bathing and he's got a soap. The soap that time was made of sand and infused with perfume. Amber, oud, musk, etc. It's infused with it. So as he's rubbing himself, he's seeing, hey, fragrance is coming out. Fragrance upon fragrance is just coming out. So as though he's talking to the soap, he says, Bado guftam ke mushki ya abiri. Bado guftam ke tu mushki ya abiri. I asked the soap, what are you, musk? Or are you umber? What are you? Ke asbu dil awaratu. Adil awes tu mustam. Because of your fragrance, I am really overwhelmed. I am overwhelmed with your fragrance. Your fragrance is so much. So I explained this to some students, some small children now, you know. So that child is asking me, did it happen really? You can't ask that type of question. It's an illustration. Illustration is an illustration. You can't ask this type of question. So Bado, he says, Bado guftam ke mushki ke abiri ke as bua dil awesatu mustam. You know, because of your fragrance, really, I am on cloud 13 now. I'm blown up so well. So the soap says, see, man khakam ke hastam. I'm still the same plot of sand. But I lived and I associate with umber, with musk, etc. I lived with them. And for that long period that I've lived with them, their flavor, their fragrance has infused into me. Varna man khakam kastam. I'm just a spot of sand. See the humility and the recognition of the favor. Humility on one side and the recognition of the favor. He doesn't forget his own self, his own nature. And he doesn't also disregard the favor of his elder. Both. A combination. So we come into the Mount Hamid Sahib Rahmatullah, and we've got 2 minutes left now. From where kaha se kaha pahunch gaye. Maulana is in his final illness, right? And he's getting bouts of dizziness. So in India, in the smaller towns, you don't have a municipal tap. So you'll just have a container, right? And you take the water and go to the toilet if you want. So Mona has taken the water from the container and went to the toilet. On his return, he had a bout of dizziness and he just collapsed. He came up after 5 minutes, but it's middle of the night, so the wife doesn't know anything. So the middle of the night, this thing happened, got the spell of dizziness, he fell. And now, somehow, when he came up, he crawled towards his bed and he lied down. As he lied down there, now he's thinking that, see, that container we got for the toilet, right, is placed in one spot. And now the wife may need to go to toilet, and she won't find it in that spot, she will find some difficulty. Now in all the sickness and the bout of dizziness, he crawled again to the same spot, he got the container and left it where it's supposed to be, then returned. I was explaining this to us why we are still babies. We are novices, immature, amateur, and he wants to make us mature by open up your minds, think, what is the level, what is the importance of good character, good values, etc. Islam, how much does it impress upon it? See this, good character, values, understanding, sense of responsibility. So many things come up in this. So he's explaining to us, not so that you may praise him, but get yourself right, understand. You know, a man learns from an example. So this man has got a job now in Delhi. He became a specialist or something. So in a small village, you're not going to get a job there. Small village now, you're going to get a job there. So he had to go to a central place, Delhi, secured his job, money, finance, too much, too nice. And now Maulana is desperately in need of a house. I said, he's got two families, and to come take you on a spin to make you, me to understand this whole thing. So in the, of his own, this man here comes to Maulana and he says, you know, I'm on the verge of going to Delhi and I'm uplifting, you know. So I don't, I won't need this house here. I got a very handsome salary this side here. And I need to uplift, I need to move on. And I think the right thing for me is to sell this house. What do you feel about the whole thing? Maulana said, you don't sell. So I am desperate for that house, and the house was at the right spot that I wanted. Maulana could have said, you know, see, this is God given. Came from Allah Pak. So Maulana said, the reason is sometimes you take on a job somewhere, right? Everything is very good. But en route, then you find, hey, that was not the appropriate thing. But now you've sold this house here. Is there anything that you can fall back on? So you just keep this house here until you settle, everything is moving well, and you got something to fall back on. Then if you think of selling it. But that's called comprehension. That's called a person that is perfect. Allah Tawfiq Naseeb.